तस्यापि भगवान् एषा साक्षात् ब्रह्मं मयो हरि अंसंसेन चतुर्धाघात् पुत्रत्वं प्रतितासुराय रामलक्ष्मण भारत शत्रुघ्ना इति संज्ञया Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of the expansion. Their holy names were Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the son of Maharaj Dasarath. Put forth by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Ramchandra and his brothers, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna, are all Vishnu Tattva, not Jiva Tattva. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands into many forms. Although they are one and the same, Vishnu Tattva has many forms and incarnations. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, Ramadi Murti Shukalani Amena Tishtan, the Lord is situated in many forms, such as Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. And these forms may exist in any part of His creation. All these forms exist permanently, eternally, as individual personalities of Godhead, and they resemble many candles, all equally powerful. Lord Ramachandra, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna, who being Vishnu Tattva, are all equally powerful, became the sons of Maharaj Dasarath in response to prayers by the demigods. This beautiful sloka from Canto 9, Chapter 10 of Srimad Bhagavatam is being spoken by Srila Shukadeva Goswami, where he is explaining to Maharaj Parikshit, in summary, the beautiful appearance and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared in the Treta Yuga as the son of Maharaj Dasarath in his wonderful form of Sri Ramchandra. At this time, in this very holy place, Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari Ji Mandir, we are celebrating the auspicious festival of Ram Navami. His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, especially instructed His devotees in the love of His own heart for all the fallen and conditioned souls, as well as the devotees in this great city of Bombay, to install within this temple the beautiful deities of Sri Sri Nithai Gaura Sundar, Sri Sri Radha Rasa Bihari Ji, and Sitaram Lakshman, and their eternal servitor, Sri Hanuman Ji. Here in this purport is explaining that the forms of the Lord being explained here are Vishnu Tattva. What their relationships are is very significant. And why Srila Prabhupada chose these three sets of deities to be together here is most important for us to understand for our progress in Krishna consciousness. Krishna explains in Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam svajamyaham, that he appears in every age within this material creation for the purpose of delivering the pious, annihilating the miscreants, and re-establishing the principles of religion. In fact, Srila Shukadeva Goswami describes that the appearances of the Lord throughout the history of the innumerable universes within creation, and what to speak of this one creation, every time Mahavishnu inhales, the entire cosmic manifestation is destroyed and remains dormant, contained within his transcendental body. And every time he exhales, again, innumerable universes are created. And so many billions of our years, trillions of our years, equal days, months, life of Brahma. And we understand there are innumerable Brahmas. And in every yuga, in every day of Brahma, the Lord is appearing. So how many incarnations of the Lord are there? It is explained in Bhagavatam, as there are waves in the ocean, in the same way, there are countless incarnations of the Supreme Godhead. But to understand any of them, we must understand on the basis of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So, the prominent incarnation in the age of Treta Yuga was Lord Sri Ramchandra. And he killed the great demon, Ravana, with his sharpened bow and arrow. And with his beautiful form, and displaying his most sweet, loving relationships with his devotees, he attracts all the hearts of those who hear these narrations. And by his words and by his exemplary behavior, he established the truest, purest, and highest principles of religion, of total surrender unto him. When the Dwapara Yuga came into existence, the Supreme Lord appeared in his beautiful form of Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihariji. Krishna, taking birth in Mathura, moving to Vrindavan, attracted the hearts of all fortunate souls. And the Leela of the Lord in Vrindavan, Dwarka, Kurukshetra, these pastimes are eternal. They are none different from the Lord himself. And simply by hearing this lila, janma karma chame divyam evam yogiti tatvata, we can be delivered from the repetition of birth and death. With his charming relationships with his devotees, he attracts our hearts. He killed the great demons like Kamsa. And on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he established the highest principles of religion through speaking of Bhagavad Gita. So on the altar of our right side, we see how Lord appeared as Sri Ramchandra, His first expansion appeared as Lakshman. His pleasure potency appeared as Sita. And in Dwapar Yuga, Krishna appears as in his original form, and his pleasure potency appears in the original form of Srimati Radharani. And on the left altar is how the same personality appears in the age of Kali Yuga. Radha and Krishna, Sita and Ram, both appear in one form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lakshman or Balaram, the original spiritual master, the first and foremost servitor of the personality of Godhead, appears as Nityananda Prabhu. But in the age of Kali Yuga, the Lord doesn't come with the arrow of Ram or the chakra of Krishna. Because if he did, he would practically have to destroy the whole human society. Therefore, Gornitai appears with the weapon of the holy name. Knowing that in this age of Kali Yuga, so many imposters will claim to be God. So many imposters will claim that God is speaking through me. That Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Ram and Sita, Radha and Krishna, he appears in the form of a devotee. Why? To teach us how to be devotee of God. And by spreading the Harinam Sankirtan movement, he is giving us all of the necessary requirements to attain the supreme perfection of life, of re-entrance into his eternal Leela. So how Srila Prabhupada arranged these beautiful altars is so instructive, so ingenious and wonderful for all of us to understand. We have the Lord who appeared in Treta Yuga, that same Lord who appears in Dwapara Yuga, and here the culmination is he is appearing to us today as Sri Sri Nithai Gaura Sundar to bestow his causeless mercy of invoking everyone to chant his holy name.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare!
In this way, Srila Prabhupada has made this temple into a spiritual atmosphere which is completely beyond time. We have Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Kali Yuga, all right in front of us. And at the same time, through each of these altars, we can enter into the spiritual world. But it is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu whose mercy Srila Prabhupada has brought us. There are so many wonderful stories in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela where Lord Gaurasunda revealed himself as Ram, Lakshman, and Sita to such great devotees as Murari Gupta. He revealed himself as Radha Ras Bihariji to Ramananda Rai. All these forms are included. Simply by surrendering to Lord Chaitanya, by chanting his holy names, we can achieve the ultimate perfection of entrance into the eternal Leela of the spiritual world. So this was Srila Prabhupada's great compassion toward all the people of Bombay. Not only to give us the opportunity to come and see the beautiful form of the Lord, but to teach us, to educate us, how to live according to his instructions within this age of Kali Yuga. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam. Hello, Nasteva, 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 Katiran Yata. By hearing and chanting the glories and the names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yesterday we celebrated the birth or the appearance of Sri Ramchandra. With the very limited amount of time that we have, we would like to speak for a few minutes on this transcendental subject matter. As Krishna has said in Gita, if we simply hear submissively from proper sources of parampara about the transcendental nature of the appearance and activities of the Lord, our heart becomes purified. Our natural attraction to servitude of Godhead awakens, and detachment from material enjoyment takes place within our minds. So let us listen very carefully to this wonderful story. Valmiki Muni, who was at one time a hunter, an evil man, was approached by Sri Narada Muni. And Narada was very compassionate. After all, he had no business coming to this material universe, save and except to show compassion to others. Narada Muni Bajaivi Naradhika Ramana Name. Thakur Bhakti Vinod sings a beautiful song about Sri Narada Muni. How he simply plays on his veena, chanting the holy names of Lord Sri Krishna, trying to invoke love of God within everyone. And great devotees of the Lord, their mission is to change people's hearts. Their mission is not simply to beat people over the head with philosophy. Whatever is necessary to actually convert or transform a person to spiritual consciousness, it is what is required. So in the story of Valmiki Muni, we really get a nice understanding of how acharyas can present things according to time, place, and circumstance. He saw the atrocities of Valmiki in his previous situation in life as a hunter. And he told him, you should chant the name of Ram. But he was so sinful, the name of Ram could not come on his mouth because he was so busy trying to create pain and death to others that he could only chant the name of the Lord of Death. So Narada Muni told him that he should chant the name of the Lord of Death. This is preaching according to time and circumstance. If Nityodita Maharaj were to say that, he would be in great controversy. Chant the name of the Lord of Death. But he had a plan out of his great compassion. He understood what would happen. You chant the name of Mara. So his hunter began to chant very carefully, Mara, Mara, Maram, 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 Ram, 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 Rio! And he became pure devotee by chanting the name of Ram by the mercy of Sri Narada Rishi and Lord Brahma. Actually induced him, through Narada and others, to actually write the beautiful story of the birth and activities of Sri Ramchandra. He was empowered with this vision. So he explains how in the great city of Ayodhya, which is in the kingdom of Kosala, there was a king of the name Dasarath. Dasarath Maharaj had 350 wives, of which three were prominent, Kaushalya, Kaikeyi, and Sumitra. And despite many years of endeavoring, he did not have even one single son. Now Maharaj Dasarath was coming in the line of the great king Ikshvaku, who was in the solar dynasty. Srila Prabhupada explains in the Kshatriya race, there were two dynasties, one coming from Surya, the sun god, and the other coming from the moon god. So this is a very, very sacred dynastic succession, and it is one of the very sacred duties of these great God-conscious kings is to have a son to take the kingdom after him and lead the world according to the highest principles of Krishna consciousness. But Dasarath had no son. So one day he gathered together his ministers and the great rishis and sages, and he explained to them that although I am the emperor of the entire world and I have no challenge practically, and everything in my kingdom is flourishing with all prosperity, and all of my citizens love me and are very obedient to my laws, still my life is empty. I feel that everything is spoiled because I have not had a son. What can I do? And he was advised that he should perform a yajna. One of his ministers explained to Dasarath that long ago, the sages, Sanat Kumar and others, explained to you that you would have a daughter, which you did. Her name was Santa. And one great king who was a friend of Dasarath, whose name was Romapad, had no children. So Dasarath allowed his daughter to live with Maharaj Romapad. And later, this daughter was married to a great sage of the name Rishyashringa. He was a Brahmin. This is a fantastic story. Someday we can tell of how Santa married Rishyashringa. It is a good story for brahmacharis to hear especially. For everybody, but especially. So anyways, Rishyashringa was a great Brahmin, very pure from birth. And Sanat Kumar said that someday Dasarath Maharaj, through a yajna performed by the Brahmin Rishyashringa, will have four sons who will be the very expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So Rishyashringa was called to perform the yajna. And he did. And the various demigods, including Lord Brahma himself, came to accept the offerings that were made to them in the yajna. At that time, the demigods, Dasarath was praying, please award me a son to carry on my service. And the demigods were praying to Brahma that there's a terrible demon of the name Ravana. He is so strong. Why is he so strong? Because of the benedictions you gave him, Brahma. He cannot be defeated by anyone. He has such power. He has already conquered the earth. He's conquered practically all the universe. Even Indra cannot stand before him. He is causing all pious beings to cry. He is a murderer of Brahmins. He is a destroyer of sacrifice. And his great pleasure is to drink the blood of humans. But we cannot stand before him. So please appeal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead on our behalf to save us. There's no one else who can save us. Just at that time, Shri Shri Radharas Vihari Ki, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki, Shri Nithai Gaura Chandra Ki. Lord Vishnu appeared in the sacrificial arena riding on his bird carrier Garuda. And he announced to everyone that soon I will appear. I will appear in my beautiful incarnation as the son of Maharaj Dasarath. And I will kill Ravana, and I will bring pleasure and glory to all the world. And then the Supreme Lord, after being worshipped by Brahma, ascended again to the spiritual world. At that time, Brahma instructed the demigods that they should take birth in the form of their own expansions in the dynasty of monkeys in Kishkindha Kshetra in order to assist the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he appears in this world to destroy the demon Ravana and establish real Dharma again on earth. So Indra arranged to take birth as Bali, Surya expanded himself as a son of the name Sugriva. Vayu expanded himself in the form of Hanuman. And Vivida, Mahinda, Angada, so many wonderful, powerful, powerful monkeys who were big like mountains and very strong appeared on the earth, simply to serve the Lord. After the yajna, Rishi Shringa gave the prasad that was offered to Lord Vishnu to Dasarath. Dasarath divided that prasad into two parts. He gave half to Kausalya, his senior most wife, and the other half he divided into three parts. One part he gave to his other wife, Kaikeyi, and two to Sumitra. After some time, sure enough, the three wives became pregnant, and they became very, very effulgent and extraordinarily beautiful, holding the Lord's expansions within her womb. And it was on this ninth day of the moon, Ram Navami, that the first child was born to Kausalya. At the most auspicious moment in that great city of Ayodhya, Ayodhyapati Sri Ramchandra appeared. And soon after, Bharat appeared from Kaikeyi, and then Lakshman appeared, and Shatrughna appeared. And these four brothers were the very embodiments of all attractive qualities. Ram was the senior most, and all the three brothers were devoted exclusively to him. From their very infancy, Lakshman would never, ever, ever, for even a moment, leave the side of his brother Ram. He was absolutely dedicated to pleasing him, to serving him in every possible way. His life at every moment was simply a meditation on serving Sri Ram, pleasing Sri Ram, protecting Sri Ram from any inconvenience that could possibly come in this world. And Shatrughna had the same type of devotion and dedication to Bharat. The four brothers began to grow. And as they grow, they simply conquer the hearts of all the city of Ayodhya, especially the mothers and Dasarath Maharaj. One day, the great sage Vishwamitra came to the court of King Dasarath. And although Dasarath Maharaj was the king of all the world, he always felt himself to be the most humble servant of the great devotees of the Lord. This is the quality of a great person. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said in this regard that a great person who has abundance of good qualities is just like a tree that has abundance of very ripe fruits. That tree will bend very low. It will never stand up straight. Similarly, a real great soul is always bowing down to others and taking a humble position. He will never stand straight to exalt his own qualities. And according to real culture, the Kshatriyas were always humble and submissive to the great devotees who were learned in the science of the Absolute Truth. So when Vishwamitra came into the court of Maharaj Dasarath, Dasarath Maharaj sat him on his own throne and washed his feet. And with his own hands, as well as with his ministers and servants and queens, they were serving him in every possible way. In fact, Dasarath Maharaj offered his entire kingdom to Vishwamitra Muni. And this is why the kingdom of Ayodhya was so blissful, so happy, because of a king like this, who is genuinely the well-wisher of all. So after Dasarath offered, "How can I serve you?" Vishwamitra Muni requested a service that Dasarath Maharaj did not expect. He said that there are terrible demons, Subahu and Maricha, who are contaminating my sacrifices in the forest. And they are so powerful that no ordinary living being can stop them. But I know someone who can stop them, your son Ram. I want you to give me Ram and Lakshman to come to the forest for some time to kill these terrible demons." When Dasarath heard this, it was unbelievable. He was just a child, hardly in his teenage years. And although he was the all-powerful personality of Godhead, due to fatherly affection, Dasarath simply saw him as a son who was depending on his fatherly affection for survival. Besides, he was a prince. He was accustomed to living in the luxuries of the palace of the kingdom of Ayodhya. How could he live in the dangerous forest fighting against Rakshasas? Dasarath Maharaj replied that, "I will go myself, and I promise you I will bring an entire Akshohini division of soldiers, and I will kill those demons, but let Ram stay here. Tell me about who are these demons? Who are they working under?" And Vishwamitra Muni explained, "They are working under the order of Ravana, that great Rakshasa who is plaguing the universe." And when Dasarath heard the name of Ravana, it struck a thunderbolt of fear in his heart. He said, "No one can stand before Ravana. Even Indra, the king of heaven, cannot stand in his presence." Vishwamitra Muni insisted, "You have given your word. A Kshatriya will never go back on his word of honor."
And a similar thing happened when we were here, right here in this very bungalow. I think it was 3 years or 4 years back. I don't remember exactly.
Prominent quality of Kshatriyas: the honor of their word. These days, in all countries throughout the world, and even have intentions to keep their words. I will not speak about India because I do not know so much, but I know in the West, when politicians go on their campaigns to get votes, they promise everything. And then when it's time for the next election, that his citizens come forward and say, everything you promised, you've done nothing. And they always say, it's not my fault. What can I do? It's because of him. It's because of them. In this way, no citizens have really any trust in their leaders anymore, because nobody values their word of honor. A real kshatriya, anything he says, he will die before he goes back on his word. Where is such honor in this age of Kali Yuga? Vishwamitra Muni said, you have given your word. At that time, Vasishtha Muni explained to Dasarath that, I know who this Vishwamitra is. He could kill all these demons himself. And you have nothing to fear. Ram is all powerful. So with a very, very heavy heart, Dasarath surrendered. He surrendered what was most dear to his life, his own beloved son, Ram and Lakshman. So Ram, very happily, along with Lakshman, went into the forest with the great sage Vishwamitra. And they came to the hermitage. And there the sages were assembled, and they were in great fear.
But that was when he left his body. During our kirtan, yes. We heard.
And what they did is they started throwing blood and dead corpses and stool and urine and all other abominable substance all over the arena of sacrifice. That is what they would do. And they would personally come and terrorize and kill any sages that resisted. So on this day when they appeared in terrible, terrible, fearful, monstrous forms, Sri Ramchandra took two arrows, and with one arrow he killed the demon Subahu. And with the other arrow it struck the chest of Maricha and threw him 800 miles into the ocean. And the sages were very happy. And Ram and Lakshman, playing the parts of noble human beings in this incarnation, they actually worshipped the sages and were grateful to these great Brahmins for
habit of listening several things from Vyasasan, like
Go Brahmane Devaya, Go Brahmane Hitaya. The Lord's greatest lila of pleasure is to serve his devotees. To give pleasure to his devotees. Bhakta Vatsal. After this, Vishwamitra, being very pleased with them, would instruct them each day as they were in the forest. Ram and Lakshman, in order to show the world how whoever you are, however learned or great you may be by worldly estimation, the virtue of life is to approach a spiritual master, inquire submissively, and render service. Wherever they would go in their travels with Vishwamitra, they were always inquiring, what is the body, what is the soul, what is the absolute truth? When they approached the Ganga, they asked, can you tell us the story of the history of Mother Ganga? And Vishwamitra Muni explained in great, great detail all of these stories. And at the same time, Ram and Lakshman, they would collect wood for their guru. They would massage his legs, massage his lotus feet. They would do any menial service just to show the world the necessity of following this great scriptural injunction of approaching a spiritual master, inquiring submissively and rendering service. In fact, Ram would not do anything of any significance without the blessings of the great sage Vishwamitra. One day, Vishwamitra Muni told Ram and Lakshman that we will go on a pilgrimage to the very holy city of Mithila. the kingdom of Maharaj Janak. When they arrived there, Maharaj Janak, knowing that Vishwamitra Muni had come, came with his ministers and secretaries and the rishis and welcomed him with great affection. And when Janak Maharaj saw the beauty of Ram, he was simply astonished. And he inquired, "Who is this?" "This is Ram, the son of Dasarath and his brother Lakshman." Vishwamitra Muni asked Janak to explain the story of this great bow ceremony that they were having on a regular basis. And Janak said that one time the demigods were fighting against the demons, and Lord Shiva, he gave his own very, very powerful, invincible bow to fight against the asuras. And that bow was meant...
Later that he expired at a certain time. I wouldn't say it's because of our kirtan, but certainly it's a coincidence. And so
this bow is so mighty and so powerful that no one has even able to lift it. But I have made a vow. I have vowed that it will take that great king or prince who can string or bend this bow to marry my daughter Sita. And he explained, "Who is this Sita? How, while he was plowing the fields, she was born from the very earth itself. She was more beautiful than any other personality on earth. She was the very embodiment of charm, sweetness, beauty. She was an ocean of loving qualities. And the demigods and great kings and the rakshasas, everyone was mad to have the hand of Sita in marriage. And they were all lining up, coming to try to bend this bow. And there was a big, big arena, like a stadium, what we would call today, where thousands of people would gather to watch the tournament of various people trying to lift the bow. Much more interesting than the cricket matches of India. More purifying also. So, it is said even Ravana himself came, but he could not even budge this bow from this. And Janak said, so many great kings and princes, they would come, and not being able to lift the bow, they would become so angry that they would begin to attack the city. And Janak had to use all his resources just to defend the kingdom of Mithila from all of these greedy and lusty people.
That's further proof that Prabhupada's movement has driven out Rajneesh from his body also.
It was carried, not carried, pulled by on wheels in a beautiful chest by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of very strong, stalwart people. Previously, Sita and Ram happened to see one another. And just by the glance from each other's most loving eyes, their original love was awakened. Ramchandra is the supreme enjoyer, and Sita is the supreme devotee, whose existence is exclusively meant for the enjoyment of God. What is the difference between Sita and Ram? The Shastras explain that Radha Krishna, Sita Ram,
talking about sex, talking, they are like a dog, they are like this, that. Very
supreme absolute truth, Godhead. There is no difference. But that one supreme truth, Bhagavan, who is the controller of all controllers, the cause of all causes, the source of incarnations, and in expansions of those incarnations are determining the affairs of this entire creation, who is the source of all the demigods, the devatas. That one supreme truth divides himself into two forms for the purpose of enjoying eternal pleasure. Rasa Vihari. Simply to enjoy loving exchange, the Lord enjoys himself. Sita is the pleasure potency, the Hladini Shakti of the Absolute Truth. She is Godhead who appears for the enjoyment of himself. She is the supreme essence and source of all bhakti or devotion. And there is nothing that pleases Ram except bhakti or devotion. So therefore in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, it is our eternal aspiration to simply try to assist as the servant of the servant of the servant the wonderful loving pastimes that God has with his own eternal energy in the form of Sita or Radharani. So in this Leela, it was the first time that the Supreme Enjoyer, Sri Ram,
very unniche means things which are never been told to anybody.
And this truly is the perfection of our hearts to hear of the wonderful meeting of Sita and Ram. But playing the role of human beings, Sita was simply praying to the Supreme Godhead that Ram will lift the bow and take my hand in marriage. And knowing that this was the loving desire of his consort, Ram, Lakshman and Vishwamitra Muni entered into the arena where all the great persons had failed to even lift the mighty bow. Ramchandra turned to Vishram
in the past from Vyasasam. So what do you think about
blessings to step forward and try? Vishwamitra Muni said, yes, string the bow. And as Ramchandra came forward, all the citizens of Mithila were simply charmed to see his beauty and his qualities. And they were all praying from the core of their hearts, because their lives were simply for the pleasure of Sita, that please, let this Ram be the husband of Sita. And Sita Devi, upon seeing the limbs of Ram, which appeared very youthful and very soft, very gentle, and then looking at this bow, which was so hard and so cold, there was great anticipation in her heart. There was complete silence in the assembly. Even Janak himself was simply immersed in prayer that Ram could lift the bow. Otherwise, if he cannot do it, Sita will be a widow for the rest of her life. So as Ramchandra walked forward, everyone was immersed
immersed in this beautiful pastime. And Sri Ramchandra ji, the son of Dasarath, effortlessly lifted the bow. And then when he pulled the string, the bow bent further and further and further and further, and he pulled it more and more and more until it cracked. And when it cracked, the sound of the cracking of that bow was so thunderous that practically everyone in the assembly except Ram, Sita, Vishwamitra, Lakshman and Janak fell unconscious. Even the demigods, upon hearing the thunderous crack of this bow, and the heavenly planets were falling unconscious. And the entire earth was shaking. And when everyone came to their senses again, they saw this beautiful young form of Sri Ram standing with the bow broken to pieces. And for those of you who may have had the fortune of going to this holy place of Mithila, that actual site where Sri Ramchandra broke the bow is there.
Of course, they leave one another. Similarly, we see brothers, sisters, fathers and sons, as they're living with
the history of these wonderful pastimes still exists in these holy places. At that time, everyone was jubilant, and Sita Devi came forward with the blessings of her father Janak with the garland of victory, and she placed it on the neck of Sri Ram, and everyone began to cheer and chant his holy name.
Shri Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Shri Sitaram Ki. Janak was just jubilant. He was so excited that let us have the marriage as soon as possible. And Vishwamitra Muni and Janak
started preaching heavily to the people.
Hari Bol. Auspicious. Just at the time of Ram and Sita's marriage, it rang 9 times, celebrating Ram Navami. It is also warning us that we should end the program tonight. So we will continue this narration of Sri Ram's Leela tomorrow night at Kandivali. Someone can explain the program. So in this way, Sri Sri Sitaram reunited. And Janak Maharaj sent the news to Maharaj Dasarath and invited him to agree to this wonderful proposal. And he sent his ministers. And when the ministers arrived in Ayodhya with the letter from Janak Maharaj that Ram has strung the bow, we are proposing to you that he take the hand of Sita in marriage. And Dasarath was overjoyed. And Maharaj Janak, in great devotion, he actually sent all the way from Ayodhya to Mithila, which is many hundreds and hundreds of miles. They made beautiful, beautiful roads for the bridegroom's party. Not only beautiful roads, but he very quickly, in a matter of just days, he erected wonderful guest house for them to stay on the way and sumptuous prasad to be served to them, fitting the most royal procession.
Prabhupada ki jaya, Gaur Premanand.
Kaushalya and his ministers, and so many of the important citizens of Ayodhya, thousands and thousands of them, they all finally came to Mitala, and there the wonderful wedding ceremony took place. And Maharaj Janak gave Janaki hand to Ram, and he and his brother gave their three daughters to Bharat, Lakshman and Shatrughna. In this way, all four of the illustrious sons of Dasarath were suitably married, and it was a wonderful festival. And then they returned to live very happily in Ayodhya for some time. And we will discuss that tomorrow. But for now, let us have kirtan to celebrate this wonderful